welcome to Trinity this morning. It is great to see you on this slightly rainy and dreary day. We welcome you to worship. I hope that you'll take a moment during the service to take out the connection card that's in your bulletin and fill that out for us. If you're here all the time, if you'll at least share with us your name and your email, it really helps us to be able to stay connected with you in a variety of ways, and so we sure do appreciate it. You can hold on to it, and during the service, you can put it in the offering plate as they go by or hand it to the ushers as well. I think I forgot to tell you that I'm Catherine Fluck Price. I'm one of the pastors of Trinity, and great to be with you this morning. You know, our mission box for today is something called Smile Train. It's an organization that provides a cleft palate repair in 85-plus developing countries around the world, and it does it at completely no charge. It is 100% free. As a parent of someone, of a child who was born with a birth defect that included a cleft palate, I can attest to the fact that it makes a significant difference in that child's life. It is literally life-altering to be able to have cleft palate repair. So I hope you'll be generous this morning as you leave the services towards Smile Train. The mission boxes are those wooden boxes that are by the exit doors, and we sure appreciate your support of many different organizations in our community and around the world through these mission boxes. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. It is a day that we celebrate, and it's a season when we celebrate the anticipation of the birth of Christ, when we anticipate and remember Christ coming into the world and God making God's home with us. This morning, we welcome all of you to Trinity. And we hope that as God makes God's home in your heart, that you will feel at home here with Trinity. And so we say to you, welcome home. And now let me invite you just to stand up and please introduce yourself to somebody. Say hello to someone. Reach across the aisle. Turn around behind you. Find someone you don't know.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able, and let's join together in beginning our worship service by singing our opening hymn, O Come, Emmanuel.
Oh, this season of Advent, we begin worship this morning with song and then with words that come from the book of Psalms that prepare our hearts for worship and for the season. Would you join me in this responsive reading? To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Let none that wait for you be put to shame. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, the Lord instructs sinners in the way and leads the humble in what is right and teaches them their way. First candle of Advent reminds us that we are a people of hope. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what the immediate situation, we are not without hope. God is surely coming to be with us in the person of Emmanuel. And so this morning, as we enter into our time of prayer, I invite you to hold that good news in your hearts. I invite you to pray for the persons who are a part of our community who need our prayers, who may be looking for exactly that today, for a little bit of hope. There are others that you surely know who you want to remember in your hearts as well. Would you join me now in a little prayer? God, on this first Sunday of Advent, help us, your people, to lean into the promises that you have for us, to look forward to what is still yet to come. To know that you have been with us and that you will be with us and for us as we go forward. We know that in the person of Jesus Christ you have come to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal the sick, to bring good news to the outcast, to the poor, and to the downtrodden. And we know that through him you also have called us to be your people, to live in response to that good news. So as we worship today, help us to listen, to lean in, and to look forward to where you will take us. Once again, offer ourselves as one people, one body, as we pray together as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. As we worship, one of the ways in which we do so is through the gifts that we bring to make ministry happen in the life of the church. And what a wonderful season it is for us to be reminded of just how much happens around here. I was looking through the bulletin this morning and taking notice of all that will happen between now and Christmas. And our gifts together help make ministry possible that doesn't only touch our lives, but has the potential to reach others in our community and in the world. So let me invite you to join me in a word of prayer over those gifts that we bring today. Good and gracious God, we pray that you would take what we offer on this day and use it in ways that make a difference, that have impact for the sake of the kingdom that is surely coming on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
all of the amazing gifts and talents that people offer as we gather together to worship God. Thank you to the dancers this morning. Thank you to the choir. Thank you to all who make worship what it is in Trinity and lead our hearts toward preparing room for Him. This morning our scripture reading is from Jeremiah chapter 33 verses 14 through 16. I'll be reading from the Common English Bible, and I invite you to read along, follow along with me as I read. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill my gracious promise with the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will raise up a righteous branch from David's line, who will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is what he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. It's the word of God for the people of God. And God's people say, thanks be to God. And let me now invite you to bow your heads and pray for me this morning and sharing this message with you as I pray for you. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today is the beginning of Advent. It is the celebration of the Adventists, that's the word Advent, of the coming of Christ, the birth of Christ more than 2,000 years ago, and the second coming of Christ as we await his coming again. And you know, sometimes the scripture readings in Advent are a bit puzzling to us because the majority of them are not our nostalgic images of Christmas and Advent. They are not filled with shepherds and angels and babies and innkeepers and Mary holding things in her heart. Instead, the scripture readings in Advent point us toward the second coming of Christ, his coming again, and the longing and the hope we have for Christ's return when all things are made right. Christ gives us hope for a time when there will be peace and justice and righteousness in our world. You know, that's why the season of Advent is the season of waiting and longing. It's not hard for us to look around and to see that all is not well in our world. All is not right. We long for a day when God will finish what God has started and God will fulfill what God has promised. We hope for a day when Christ will come again and all will be right with the world. You know, toward the beginning of the 6th century B.C., when the prophet Jeremiah was preaching, the people of Jerusalem were also longing. They were under attack by Babylon and by the armies of King Nebuchadnezzar, and Jeremiah understood this attack as God's judgment on them for living in ways that were wrong and contrary to God's commandments. In fact, Jeremiah was thrown into prison by Jerusalem's king, King Zedekiah, because he was tired of hearing Jeremiah preach doom and gloom and saw him as supporting the enemy. And then the destruction and devastation that Jeremiah preached became reality. Their city was ransacked. The people were slaughtered. They were denied access to the temple, and they were dragged from their homes and from their land. But after the destruction, about 10 years later, when they were hostages in exile in Babylon, in the passage that we read today, Jeremiah begins to sing a new song. He is still in prison, and they are still in exile. But in what we know as chapters 30 through 33 of Jeremiah, he begins to share this message of hope. He speaks to the longing of the people now in exile, and he says to them, "The days are surely coming when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah in those days, and at that time I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall create justice and righteousness in the land. In those days Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety." Now at that time, as they were exiled in Babylon, that must have sounded ridiculous to them. They were in exile. They were held captive in another country. All they had known was lost, and these words of hope sounded downright laughable. Surely this Jeremiah was a lunatic, right? It would have sounded to them like Nelson Mandela being elected president of South Africa would have sounded to black South Africans in the time of apartheid. It would have sounded to them like the end of the Cold War, and the destruction of the Berlin Wall would have sounded to the people of Germany in the early 1980s. It would have sounded to them like the words, "The slave is our brother and all oppression shall cease in a holy night," would have sounded to southern slaves during the time of the Civil War. It would have sounded to them like a world without terrorism and gun violence sounds to us today. But Jeremiah preached that the day is surely coming when God will restore the mess that the people are in. Out of this charred and devastated land, God would bring forth a shoot, a righteous branch. Isaiah also speaks of this new branch, saying, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, a branch will grow out of its roots." When all the kings of Israel had been destroyed and the monarch was reduced to a stump, a mere stump, God said that a new branch would spring up, one that would bring righteousness and justice to the land. You see, when everything seems lost, when everything seems like a mess, when everything seems hopeless, we can have a thrill of hope because there will come a day when God will make all things right. And God will do this with this new branch of the family tree. Exactly what God did in Jesus Christ. Jesus is a descendant of David, and thus a new branch in this family tree. Remember what it says in the Nativity story? Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. Baby, cradled in a manger, was the righteous branch to spring up for David. And he came and he taught us how to live, and he embodied justice and righteousness. And it's through a relationship with Christ that we too are grafted into that very same family tree and can learn to live rightly with justice. So what do we do during Advent? We long for justice. And long, simply, not simply by waiting, but by living with a posture of hope. By conducting placing ourselves in accord with God's purposes. Advent is a time to straighten out what is not yet straightened out in the world and in our lives. It's a time to offer forgiveness. It's a time to extend graciousness. It's a time to strive for peace. It's a time to work for justice for those who are in need. Now, that may seem like a lot to accomplish in 4 short weeks, right? But change is possible. God can do amazing things when we offer our lives to Christ and seek to follow Him. Let me tell you about the events that happened 30 years ago during the season of Advent in St. Nicholas Church in Leipzig, Germany. The story began in the late 1970s and early 1980s with huge protests about the arms race all over Europe. But in Eastern Germany, protests were not allowed. It was in this context that 5 or 6 people from the youth group at St. Nicholas Church began to say peace prayers. They would gather every Monday evening at the church and light candles and pray for peace and encourage people to public action. Soon their gatherings grew and they attracted the attention of the state security police and the SED, the ruling Communist Party. Representatives of those groups, the ruling Communist Party, began to attend so that they could keep an eye on what was happening there. Christians and non-Christians, citizens of Leipzig and from all over Germany began to attend these gatherings at St. Nicholas Church. Soon the crowds were so large that the police began to check identification. They were detaining people. And in May of 1989, they were even blocking the roads to the church. Yet the people continued to gather together. They heard messages about God's love and justice, and they were encouraged toward nonviolence. By September, the church was filled with more than 2,000 people, and one evening when they walked outside, there were more than 10,000 people who joined them with candles in the town square. Helmut Junghans is a retired professor of the University of Leipzig and said this: "It started with 5 or 6, but each week there were more of us praying for peace. Eventually we filled the church and then the square around the church, and then we spilled into the ring road surrounding the old part of Leipzig. There, eventually, there were 300,000 of us marching past SAGI headquarters. Chants of 'We are the people' began, and then soon changed to 'We are one people.' But there was not one broken shop window, and there was no violence." On October 7th, 1989, the 40th anniversary of the Communist Party, the German Democratic Republic, they decided it was time to crack down on this counter-revolution by force, if necessary. For 10 hours, they battered defenseless people, and they took them away in trucks to lock them up. That was on Saturday, October 7th. Then came Monday, October 9th. The day of the peace prayers. It had been happening every week for years. Thousands of ruling party leaders were ordered to go to St. Nicholas Church that day. And by 2 p.m., more than 600 people had filled the pews. And then the Reverend Christian Fuhrer preached on the Sermon on the Mount. Later, he described the sermon and the situation in this way. He said, "And so it was that these people, including the SED party members, heard from Jesus, who said, 'Blessed are the poor, and not anyone with money is happy. Jesus said, love your enemies instead of down with your opponents. Jesus said, many who are first will be last, and not everything stays the same. Jesus said, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. That you are the salt, and not you are the cream. But these prayers took place in an unbelievable calm and concentration. And so these prayers for peace ended with the bishop's blessing and the urgent call for nonviolence. And as we, more than 2,000 persons, came out of the church, I'll never forget the sight. Tens of thousands were waiting outside the square. They all had candles in their hands. If you carry a candle, you need two hands. You have to prevent the candle from going out. You cannot hold a stone or a club in your hand. And a miracle came to pass. Jesus' spirit of nonviolence seized the masses and became a material, peaceful power. Troops, industrial militia groups, and the police were drawn in, became engaged in conversation. Then withdrew. It was an evening in the spirit of the Lord Jesus, for there were no victors or vanquished, no one triumphed over the other, and no one lost faith. Not one shot was fired. On Monday, October 16th, the following week, the peace prayers continued as they do to this day. And 120,000 people were in the streets of Houston demanding democracy and free elections. 2 days later, after that, the leader of the ruling SED party resigned. And 2 weeks after that, the entire government of the GDR resigned. On October 9th, you may remember, on November 9th, the crossing points of the wall in East Berlin opened. And on December 22nd, during the season of Advent, the Brandenburg Gate was opened. Reflecting back on the peace prayers, a member of the Central Committee of the GDR said before his death, we had everything planned. We were prepared for everything, but not for candles and prayers. Yes, Advent is a time of hope. It is a time of hope that began with the Adventists of the Christ child. And it will continue until Christ comes again. And it is also a time for action. It is a time for us to take on the posture of hope. It is a time for us to extend forgiveness, to offer graciousness, to stand up for the weak, to care for those in need, to work against oppression. It is a time for us to take up in our own lives the posture of hope and begin to make all things right. Because, as it says in O Holy Night in that third verse, truly He taught us to love one another. His law is love and His gospel is peace. Chains He shall break. The slave is our brother, and in His name all oppression shall cease. So it's time for us right now to embrace a thrill of hope and to step into that hope and live with a posture of hope as we let the hope of Christ spring
has heard the choir raise hope for everyone from afar. There's hope for everyone. We are waiting on the promise for the one who lights the darkness, bending low to be among us.
In this table, we remember that Jesus not only died for us, but he rose up from the grave, ushering in new creation once and for all. It is unfolding in us and through us. And every time we come to this table, we are nourished. We are given an opportunity to experience God's grace so that hope can rise up and well up and take up residence. When we go out from here into the world, we go out being able to authentically shout, there is hope. And so Jesus took bread, gave thanks to the Father. He broke that bread, gave it to his disciples, and he said, take and eat. this is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup and gave thanks to the Father. He gave the cup to the disciples and said, take it and drink from it, all of you. For this is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Almighty God, oh, we praise you and thank you that you came to be one of us, to be one with us. And so we have every reason to hope. And so as we come to your table this morning, pour out your Holy Spirit on each and every one of us, and on this bread and juice, that it may be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, that redeems us and makes us the body of Christ in the world. By your Holy Spirit, make us one with you and one with each other in ministry to all the world, righting all of the wrongs in your name for your glory until you come again in final victory and we all feast together around your heavenly banquet. Lord, work within your church through the power of your Holy Spirit and let hope rise up within us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite those who are going to serve with us to go ahead and come forward now. And as our servers are getting everything ready, you'll notice in just a moment there'll be a pair of servers in front of your section, and you'll have an opportunity to come forward and to receive communion. You do not need to be a member of this church or any church in order to come to the Lord's table, for we believe it's Jesus' table, and Jesus welcomes everyone. As you come forward, we start with the front rows, and we make our way back to each section. You can exit to the left and come forward. You can cup your hands, and we'll tear off a piece of bread and hand it to you. And then take that piece of bread and dip it into the cup and eat it. You can come and you kneel and pray, or you can return by the right side of your section to sit and listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say to you this morning. You can sing. Use this time in whatever way you need, but let it be a time where you come and receive grace that will allow hope to just bubble over within your life, whatever that looks like for you. If you need gluten-free, we have it on either side. Just let us know. Come, for all is ready.
Ooh.
enter into Advent, may we take on a posture of hope that permeates everything that we do. We thank you for the mystery of this meal and the ways that it nourishes our souls. And so may we go from here now with a thrill of hope resonating in us, and may we be able to shout at the top of our lungs, there is hope for everyone. In Jesus' name, amen. Everyone. And may the love of God and the grace